Welcome to Pierce Church's online campus on this Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow's a very special day in this country as we set aside time to remember the many brave men and women who gave their lives in the cause of freedom. Today, I'm sure you join me in remembering with gratitude those who stepped forward to defend the freedoms we enjoy today. So thank you to our military veterans and our Gold Star families. We love you. This is the second message in our Hope Rises series, based on the New Testament letter of 1 Peter. I'm excited that we get to dive into this powerful teaching from the undisputed leader of the early church. Remember, Peter's name was always listed first whenever the disciples are listed in the four Gospels. And despite Peter's long list of inspiring highs and discouraging lows, he ends up as the undeniable leader of the early church movement. Even though he's denied Jesus three times, the Lord shows him grace. When the women meet the risen up Jesus on Easter morning, Jesus tells them, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm risen." Later, after an all-nighter of frustrating fishing, Jesus comes to meet the disciples on the shore and reinstates Peter to a place of leadership among his followers. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So the material for this study is the first letter written by this once fallen, now forgiven and restored follower of Christ. I think he's got a lot to say to people like us, people who have experienced God's grace. The book of Acts tells us that once Peter had preached his first message, 3,000 people came to Christ just in that one experience. Wow. And then shortly after that, when he was beaten and thrown in jail, well, when he got out, the early church grew from 3,000 to 5,000. That reminds me of my friend Samuel Lamb in China. Samuel's gone to be with the Lord now, but I met him several years ago in the office of his house church, an apartment building three stories tall that had been renovated to be able to host church gatherings. Samuel Lamb told me that every time the communist government arrested him, beat him, and threw him in jail, which happened several times, well, when he was released, they had 1,000 more than when he went in. Wow. From 1,000 to 2,000, from 2,000 to 3,000, and on and on. So there are people who are worried that, you know, maybe now in this COVID-19 moment, we are being persecuted somehow. Well, I think, first of all, it's important to remember that so far, this isn't political persecution. This is community wisdom. If that changes, our response might change. But so far, the limits being placed on our church by regional authorities are the same as any other large group like us. Some who have a lot of people who want to meet together for an extended period of time in a confined space. I mean, we want to do that. But for now, we accept the counsel of our governing authorities that that wouldn't be wise. The second issue that's come up is, well, maybe this is, you know, a plot of the evil one or the critics of the church to damage us somehow by keeping us from meeting. And I guess that could be true. But I've got good news. When the church is placed under pressure, we're at our best. We have not been physically battered, but we have been scattered. We haven't been closed, but we are deployed. I love that. So as long as this current situation continues with us being unable to meet together, and frankly, that could take longer than we'd like it to, we're going to trust Jesus. We're going to stick together. We're going to show God's love everywhere we can, every time we can, in every way we can. And God will get us through this. And in fact, the text for this Sunday and next speaks very powerfully into our current situation. Peter's preaching to us. They can almost hear him. You know, he has called his friendly amanuensis, his scribe, Silas, to sit nearby and write furiously as Peter preaches one of his all-time favorite sermons. I know that because it's a sermon he's preached before, or at least he's used the same text before. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter is called to the Sanhedrin, he says this, "Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked, how was he healed? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" Now that's one brave man. You crucified Jesus, God has raised him from the dead, and now he, by his Spirit, is doing miracles, and this guy is healed. And then Peter says, Jesus is, quote, "the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." He is quoting from Psalm 118, verse 22. And then he says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to mankind by which we must be saved." Peter interprets the Old Testament. You guys think you're hot stuff. You think you're the people who get to reject or accept the stone. And when it came to Jesus, you said he was no good. You said you rejected him. But the one you rejected, God selected. And Jesus is the one who is the foundation stone for life. Or perhaps it could even be translated the capstone, the keystone that holds the arch together. We build our lives on him. We trust completely in him. He forgives our sins. Salvation is found in no one else at all. For there's no other name by which we must be saved. Wow, Peter preaches and lives are changed. And the Holy Spirit uses his words even now right here with us to remind us that Jesus is the living stone. And so Peter takes that same text a second time. And you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For the scripture says it, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe," here it is, "the stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and the stone that caused people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." Well, not once or twice, but three times, Peter quotes the Old Testament with evidence that Jesus is Messiah and fulfills these prophetic words. How did they say it back in the day? Jesus is the rock and he rolled my sins away. Or how about the great hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand"? Anyone need a rock these days? A solid foundation in shifting times, uncertain times? I mean, this is crazy, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I need a haircut. I could buy cheap gas, but I can't go anywhere. And there's more serious stuff, too. We're all staying home, trying to care for and teach our children, missing our church friends, feeling isolated. Remember, when we feel hurting, angry, lonely, or tired, we're vulnerable, we're frustrated. And in a time like this, we need this word. Jesus is the living stone. He is our solid rock. We when Peter wrote his letter, things were tough, scary. Nero was killing Christians left and right. Individuals and families in this part of the world that Peter names earlier on feel isolated and alone. They don't dare proclaim their faith in a public way. They, like us, needed a rock, needed living hope. And Peter reassures them that Jesus is our living stone, our solid rock who has become living hope. You know, I learned a long time ago that Christian hope, biblical hope, isn't just kind of, you know, I hope so. No, it's much more solid than certain than that. Because Jesus is the only one through whom we can be saved when we trust in him, when we ask him to forgive us, he forgives us. When we invite him to come into our lives, he comes in. And he changes us. Well, we're not the same people that we used to be. And as we grow in him and follow him, our lives reflect him. We build a life on the solid rock who is Jesus Christ. And I know it hasn't been easy these past 6 weeks. But God hasn't changed, and he is still good, and he is still with us. More people have thought about life and death and eternity in the last little while, I imagine, in a very long time. I mean, you can't help but think about it. Our hope in Jesus means not only can we survive this pandemic, but no matter what happens, we have a home forever with Christ, right? He is our eternal hope, our solid rock. The house that's built upon the rock stands firm. Remember the kids' song? So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the very last line says, and the house on the rock stood firm. Yes, he does. Peter reminds us all that even in a difficult and deadly time, Jesus Christ is the solid rock. But then he goes on in the second part of this passage and says something else that's very helpful. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I just love that. I can hear it coming out of Peter's very soul, you know. Once you have received mercy like Peter had, you're never the same. You are forever grateful. You know, at least we should be. You know, he's saying, before Jesus, you were just kind of wandering around. You were just doing the best you could, doing life on your own. But now, three things have happened to you. Now you are chosen people, not just a person, but part of a people. You're gathered together. You're part of a body. Even though we're not in the building, we're still part of the body. Christ has chosen us by his grace. Anybody ever suffer the humiliation of that schoolyard torture called picking up teams? You know, the two best athletes were put in charge as captains, and everybody else, all the rest of us, were lined up along the fence, and they picked alternately between those who were left until they got to the lowly ones, the last ones that nobody wanted. Well, for all of us who ever suffered through that, the good news is that God chose you. God chose me. He knows the worst about us, and he loves us anyway. He's seen our lowest moments. He's heard our meanest words. He even knows about our nastiest thoughts, and he loves us anyway. Well, how did Max Lucado put it? If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, but he chooses to live in your heart. What about the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, and not to mention what he did that Friday in Calvary? Face it, friends. God is crazy about you. He's chosen us. He's reached out to you through Jesus Christ. And if you've said yes, you are a chosen people. And then he says you are a royal priesthood. Now, anybody who grew up in a Hebrew culture understood that this was huge. Priests were set apart as exceptional servants of the Lord. Priests could go places not everybody could go, like the holy place. They could say and do things that others couldn't, like offering sacrifice and forgiving sins. But now we're told that in Jesus Christ, we are all priests. We can go directly to the Father. Some of you probably saw the news that during this COVID-19 epidemic in Italy, Pope Francis actually gave permission for good Catholics to confess their sins directly to Jesus and find forgiveness. I bet Martin Luther was jumping and shouting glory. 500 years ago, Martin Luther rocked the world by declaring that this is not just a verse in the Bible, this is reality. All who trust in Jesus are priests. Now we go directly to the Father. Now we find forgiveness from the Father. Now we extend the love and grace of Jesus to each other on behalf of the Father. We are priests. We are chosen. And then he says, you are a holy nation that is God's special possession. You know, we have a heavenly, holy citizenship. I have three citizenships. I recently became a U.S. citizen. I was born a Canadian citizen. But when I gave my life to Jesus, I became a citizen of heaven. Well, that's the most important one of all. In Christ, we are chosen priests and citizens of heaven. So I just encourage you to live into that, right? To let God do those things in you and through you. This is probably a good time to mention that we're supplementing this teaching series with an online video material from Kyle Eidelman, and he does an incredible job teaching through this passage. So sign up for Right Now Media if you haven't already. In Christ, we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation built on a solid rock. You know, I would love to get back together in church soon with you. But this scripture reminds me that no matter how long it takes, we're still the church. Christ is still our leader. No matter what happens, we win. Well, the reality is, I was thinking about this the other day, Pierce Church is ultimately, we're between pastors. I mean, we've been without a traditional pastoral staff for the last 8 or 9 months. So your official board, cooperating with superintendent, went looking and found this old retired guy, dragged me out of retirement and invited me to serve here. And I'm delighted that they did. And we just got started. You know, we nicely got my feet under me with Sunday services and a ministry plan, and COVID-19 happened. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ is still our living hope. He is still our solid rock. He is still the leader of this church. He is large and in charge, and he's brought us this far, and he will take us through this time. And the new lead pastor will be selected and appointed, and I'll get to retire again. But in all this, God will do his good work in us and through us. Never doubt, never be discouraged, never give up. We have a living hope and a solid rock, and he is with us. So we're going to go through this. It might be uncomfortable, but it's going to be okay. And everywhere we are, in this culture, wherever city you're in, whatever community you're part of, whatever church you call home, we're going to do each day. with the grace of Jesus Christ. We're going to trust him. We're going to walk with him. We're going to let him live and love through us. We are going to unleash his love. We're going to unleash compassion. We're going to unleash joy on the people around us. And God is going to build his church, his people. So while we pray together and work together and love together and serve together, God is going to keep building his church among us. We're going to listen to each other. We're going to listen to our denominational overseers and our governmental authorities, and we're going to do what we believe the Lord Jesus asks us to do. And we're not just going to play defense. We'll try and keep anything from going wrong and get back in here as quick as we can. We're going to play offense, right? And then we have a living hope and a solid rock. So our call is to push back the darkness, to reach out in every way we can, whether it's online or in person, to share God's love, to unleash compassion and joy and service everywhere we can in Jesus' name. Because the house on the rock stood firm. Because in Jesus Christ, hope rises. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we got to do this together today. And I pray for all of my friends, as we're frustrated with this season in our lives, help us to trust in you, to turn to you. For those of us who are followers of yours, Lord, may this be our finest hour. May we show character and patience and love and grace. And Lord, for anybody who might be part of this experience today, who's not clear on their commitment to Jesus, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus. So I pray that you give us the faith to simply pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. I am lost. I am confused. I am frustrated. Be my leader. Be my forgiver. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. Thank you that you choose me. Thank you that you will use me. And Lord, I believe that you hear and answer that prayer right now, and I pray that there would be lives changed forever in this moment. So we love you and we worship you, and we want to live for you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.